Thank you. Thanks. We're going to need it for Leon, so thank you. Let's give Jeffrey Dahmer a round of applause here. Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm gonna get letters for that. I know. It's my inappropriate sense of humor again. Okay. Probably some of you didn't hear what I said, right? Perfect. Okay, good. All right. You can ask me after service if you want. So I think we've been to Funky Town already this morning, haven't we? With David Parlato playing the bass and the band and Brock filling in for Kenny. Thank you so much, Brother Brock, for doing the sound. I'm going to get in trouble for that too. Okay. So I'm very excited today about introducing our speaker, who is Leon Berg. And I'm going to talk for a few minutes, so you can just breathe for a while. Okay. Yeah. So some of you know that I've been doing this series of what I'm calling Reconciling Angel interviews, where I interview people that are doing the work of wholeness and reconciliation on the earth so that we can learn how to do it here ourselves, so that we can continue to love beyond our capacity to love. That's been kind of a theme here in the center lately, that we want to learn to surrender and to love beyond the love that we think that we can express, to know that there's something greater in us that seeks expression and to provide an avenue for that to come forth. So I want to say a few words about Leon and why he's here today. Leon is one of the founding members of the Ojai Foundation. How many of you are familiar with the Ojai Foundation, right? It's up in up with Krishnamurti up in Ojai. That's why it's called the Ojai Foundation. He's a senior facilitator and trainer in the Way of Counsel, which is a communication process for cultivating deep listening and authentic speech. For 20 years, he's been facilitating counsel groups in the U.S. and abroad. He's worked with Israeli Jews and Arabs. He's worked in the prisons. He has a TED Talk that is shared widely. He is a certified mediator. He has a certificate in peace and reconciliation studies from the University of Coventry, UK. For over 2 decades, Leon has guided groups to achieve greater engagement and productive dialogue. And together with his partner, Glory Zeltzer, MA-MFT, they teach the art of intimate conversation to couples. And they teach this art of seeing one another, seeing our true colors, as the bio said, here and abroad, and soon to be here in Ventura, in our center. I want to talk a little bit about how Leon and I met, because one of the things that I talk about in this center is I quote Mary Oliver quite a bit, where she says, the instructions for living a life are to pay attention, be astonished, and then tell about it. So I'm always looking for synchronicities and how the face of the divine might reveal itself to us in moments when we're not expecting it. So I met a couple that I've talked with you about before. Their names are Marian and Aslinor. Marian is a German Protestant. Aslinor is a Muslim woman from Istanbul, Turkey, and I met them when I was in India. Prior to their trip to India, they had been in Ojai, and they had studied with Leon at the Ojai Foundation. We were in India together, we talked, we became good friends, we sang together quite a bit in all kinds of languages and from all different faith traditions. It was wonderful. And then we went our separate ways, we went back to our own countries. Leon went to Turkey this summer, or this spring, to do a tour with them, right? To do a tour with Aslinor and Marian. And after the tour was complete, Marian wrote to me and said, you know, you really ought to look up this guy, Leon Berg, if you don't know him. And so I contacted him, I looked at his TED Talk, I shared it with Brother Brock, our board president, and I said, I think this is a good guy, and Brock said, oh yeah, absolutely. And so I contacted Leon and I said, you know, I'd really like to meet you. Well, Leon said, we've met already. And I thought, well, of course, you know, I have this church. There's a lot of people here on Sunday. You know, he probably met me at church. I'm like, oh, it was a church, right? He said, no, it was actually in your backyard. I said, well, this is embarrassing. And it wasn't with a whole crowd of people either. It was like one or two, Michael Fredericks and Leon and maybe somebody else, I don't know, was over there. But I'm 60. What can you say? The mind is going. So anyway, I do vaguely remember the encounter after we talked about it some more. But that's how we met. And I just love that it took this connection from a Muslim woman from Turkey and a German Protestant coming to Ojai, going to India, back to Turkey, back to Ojai, that this whole web of connection, which is part of the reason why Leon is here today, is that our meeting, our synchronistic meeting, I think is part of the spirit of counsel. Now, he'll tell you more about this, but he's an expert in this thing, as I mentioned in the bio, called the way of counsel. And why are we doing this here? Why are we bringing this forth now in our center? Well, for many months now, I've been talking about how we are a center of love. It's our vision statement that we are love, we share love, and we serve love. We strive to be love, share love, and serve love. And part of that means taking an active role in being a force for good in the world. And I know a lot of times in the past, this spiritual teaching has been a lot about changing ourselves, and that's really where you start, that's really what you do. But what if we could cultivate some skills to help us change ourselves and then also radiate those skills out into the world to be a force for good, whatever that means to people, to us as individuals, and for us as a community collectively. When I was thinking about this, I was responding to some of the activism that I've seen in the news lately and been distressed by some of it. And so I thought, what if there is a new language of activism or a new language of protest that seeks to evolve through each of us? And really, it's nothing new. It's what the mystics have taught all the time. But here in this center, we strive to look at three things to assist us with our activism or with our protest for the things, for the way things are. The first thing is to call forth the revelation of wholeness, to know that there is nothing to be healed, only wholeness to be revealed, and that anything adverse is happening is, as Shakespeare said, sweet. Sweet are the uses of adversity. It is for growing us, it is for growing the planet, it is for expanding the consciousness into something greater than it once was. The other thing is to get skilled and to practice tools of reconciliation. We spend a lot of time talking about the third force, the third way, which is when there are two conflicting, opposing sides to any issue, there is a third that is waiting to be born within that, that can provide a solution that is greater than a compromise. It's a true win-win. So we work on that here in the center too, and that's part of how counsel comes into that as well. And then the third thing that we practice revealing wholeness, learning tools of reconciliation, and the third thing is that we do small acts of kindness. Acts of kindness that seem ridiculously small to our ego. But when we do small acts of kindness, we dispel the myth of our separation. And so I know and I trust that today is an act of kindness that you have given yourself, ourselves, and that we have come here to learn from an expert, from a master teacher, and that we will take this information in and use it in productive and constructive ways in our lives, in beautiful ways that enhance not only our lives, but enhance the lives of all beings. And I have more good news for you. Leon wore his pajamas today. So let's give him a big round of applause as he comes to the stage. Ta-da!
I feel like I need a brandy and a cigar.
Hospitality people, can we get on that? There you go. You can hold that. And so, Leon, I'm going to just grab my water real quick, too, because I need it, too. Dehydrated. A little too much sugar and caffeine over the holidays. You're shaking?
I'm nervous.
You're nervous?
I'm used to working with groups, you know, like 20 people.
Yeah.
And this is a large audience.
Well, so. Feel free to speak into the microphone, and that will help your nerves considerably.
This will be my little friend.
That's right. That's your little friend. And you had a specific way that you wanted to start us off. Would you like to go ahead and do that?
Yes. Okay. And thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
So I'd like to start off with a story. And this is a story of Mullah Nasruddin. Yes? Hugh knows Mullah Nasruddin. You're of the same family, right? So Mullah Nasruddin is a character. He's like a jokester, trickster kind of character. You know, like in the Native American tradition, we have Coyote, who is always getting up to mischief. So this is the same kind of character. And he comes from the Sufi tradition, which is really the mystical side of Islam. So one day, Mullah Nasruddin was invited to speak at a congregation in a village some ways away from where he lived. And he got up on the stage and he said to the congregation, "Do you know what I'm going to speak about today?" And they looked at him and they all shook their heads. "No, no, Mullah, we don't." So this is audience participation time.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
We don't, Mullah.
So he said, what's the point of me speaking to you guys then? And he left.
Don't you leave.
So the leader of the congregation, you know, went back to the village where Mullah lived and said, look, we're very sorry, Mullah Nasruddin. We didn't really understand what you were getting at. So please come back and we'll do it again. So the following week, Mullah Nasruddin came back to the congregation and stood up and said, do you know what I'm going to be speaking about today?
Yes.
And this time they all said,
yes.
Yes. And Mullah looked at them and said, well, if you know what I'm going to be speaking about, why do I need to be here? And he walked off. The leader of the congregation was very disturbed.
Yes, she was. Yeah.
So she went off to Mullah's village again and knocked on his door and said, please, Nasruddin, please come back. We really didn't understand, but now we do. So Mullah Nasruddin came back the third time to the village, to the congregation. And he got up and said, do you know what I'm going to be speaking about today?
Please tell us.
Yes.
And half of the congregation said, yes.
Yes.
And the other half said, no. Well, in that case, the people that said yes, talk to the people that said no, and off he went. Should we go get a beer and leave?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So this is the experimental part.
Okay. All right.
Are we ready?
Yes.
So I've never done this before, so forgive me if it evolves into chaos.
Forgiven.
What I invite you to do is remember your birth date, if you can remember it. The year, especially the year. Remember the year. Now, if you are born on an even year, like 1546, right? So an even year, please put your hands up. Okay, not bad. Keep them up a little. Okay, just a little. And then the people that were born on an odd year, let's see those people. See, it's about 50-50.
It's about 50-50, yeah.
Okay, so now let's go back. The people that were on the even year, keep your hands up. And what I invite you to do is the people that were on the odd year, come and find one of these people, and you're going to have a conversation. So let's try and do this as calmly as possible.
Okay.
Well, you had your hand up for an even year.
Yes, I am even.
Do you find any difference about being born in an even year than an odd year?
I've always liked the sound of my birth.
Yes,
hold on. How about you?
1939, I was born.
Yeah.
The year that the great.
I'm going to give you a top. I'm going to give you three questions to discuss. Does everyone have a partner? If you can, be with somebody you don't know, somebody that you've never met before, if possible. Okay.
The Great War.
I think you know each other, right?
Yeah, we know each other.
Breaking the rules here.
Okay. Ding, ding. Okay. Here are the topics of your conversation. So the first, maybe I'll just do them separately. The first is, and we'll just do it for 2 minutes, tell your partner, and you're going to switch, you know, so you both have an opportunity. Tell your partner about something that really mystifies you about our existence. It's a light question. Just and give me 2 minutes.
Okay. Right? Yeah. Okay. 2 minutes. Yeah.
Somebody's tiny.
Yeah.
Mystifies me about my everything.
The whole thing.
The miracle of existence is that it can't possibly be because it comes from nothing. That, I think that's the provable part, that it comes from nothing. And so therefore, by absolute clear logic, it cannot exist.
Yeah.
Do you have the time? Okay, I'll just look up there. Okay, if you haven't switched, switch now. I'll just do two then. Yeah.
A little bit? Yeah.
Can we just do one more?
Okay.
Oh. Okay, let's move on to the next question. Okay. Okay, ding ding.
We need a little bell.
Thank you. So the next question is, and we're only going to do two, because we don't have time, I've just been told, to do all three. The next question is to tell your partner about something that you have discovered in your life. something meaningful that you have discovered about this life on earth. If you haven't switched, then switch partners. Okay, everybody. Bonnie is looking at me. So let's wrap it up. Maybe with a little thank you to your partner. So why did I tell that story?
Why?
Well, talking about counsel, it's just sort of words, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm much more in favor of actually experiencing what it's about. And in a way, you just had a taste of it by talking truth, you know, not nonsense to each other, listening to each other. That's the essence of what counsel is about. We call it the practice of speaking and listening from the heart. So I hope you maybe got a little bit of an idea. And that's why this is an old story, the Mullah Nasruddin story, and he's making exactly the same point, that the wisdom is here in the congregation. The wisdom is not here with the speaker.
I like that. Because the wisdom's not here either, but you all know that by now, right? So, Leon, that's awesome. And I know that on Wednesday night there's going to be another opportunity to experience counsel. I think people might want to hear a little bit about some of the work that you've done with some of the populations that we might call, hopeless is the word that's coming to mind, but you know, when I think about when I lived in New York, I worked at Bellevue for a while and I worked in the prison, and there wasn't any counsel happening there. It was pretty wild. Not as bad as they portray Bellevue in the movies, but it was still pretty wild. But I know that you work with prisoners too, so how does what we just did, how does that serve, and how do you work with that in the prison system?
Well, this would have been called, you know, like a warm-up exercise. Mm-hmm. And we'll experience it again on Wednesday. I love working in the prisons. Mm-hmm. I really do. I remember when I first went, I went to LAC, which is Los Angeles County State Prison, out in Lancaster. And I got to be honest, I was pretty concerned. I'd never been in a prison before. The population that I'd be working with, I had no connection with. But when I sat down with the guys, and the introduction, there was just about 10, and I heard their story and the way they expressed themselves, and I could just feel their hearts. And it just melted me. All my fears of going through the electric gates and all the bureaucracy one has to get through to get into the prison, it sort of just melted. And I knew that I was in a circle of human beings. And that's what was most important. And what was satisfying was that, in a way, it is hard to understand, but these guys were sort of prepared for counsel. Mm-hmm. Because in prison, you need to learn a couple of things pretty quick. You need to learn patience, and you need to learn respect. And so those two qualities really come in handy when you're practicing counsel. And I just use that word practice, mm-hmm. because counsel is a practice. It's something that we really need to do on a regular basis to get the true deep benefits of the practice.
And if you could describe the benefits of those practice, what would that be?
The benefits of counsel,
yeah.
How long we got?
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, I started this as a very uptight English guy.
Really?
A Brit.
Shocking.
you're
British? Yeah.
You didn't know?
No, I got it.
Oh, okay. You can tell.
I can tell, yeah.
And I was very resistant to counsel. I mean, it was happening up at the OI Foundation, led by a woman by the name of Virginia Coyle and a guy, Jack Zimmerman. But I slowly, you know, I had to be part of it because I was the business manager. And what I noticed was that I had suffered a traumatic experience when I was about 3 years old. And what I noticed was that slowly, I began to unwind the trauma that I'd been carrying in my body, in my emotions, mm-hmm. in my heart. Mm-hmm. It all began to unwind. Mm-hmm. And that's still happening. It's still an ongoing process. And I just want to do a plug here for Glory, because it was meeting Glory and beginning to do this practice in our relationship that really took it a notch deeper, mm-hmm. maybe six notches deeper. Mm. Okay, because when we're practicing with our partner, there's no escape, right? You know, you can only bullshit for so long.
He laughed rather loudly when you said that.
Yeah. Hey, you.
So
it's a crucible. So what we create in the prison, what we create whenever we do a council circle, is a crucible. We create this container where we can feel safe enough to begin to open up. And the opening is so important because that's the key to your third force,
yes.
in my understanding,
yes.
in my belief, uh-huh. that it's this opening up due to vulnerability. Vulnerability is what allows us to go to these deeper places. Without vulnerability, we're just locked in our ego structure. Uh-huh. And there's no chance of any transformation. Uh-huh. But once we allow ourselves to soften and become more gentle with ourselves and with our partners and with other people, then magic can begin to happen.
Mm-hmm. Have you learned to love the feeling of vulnerability?
it's still a bit scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I learned a new phrase the other day. Bold vulnerability.
Yes.
Bold vulnerability.
Did you hear it from me?
No.
Okay, because it sounds like something we would say here.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like paradoxes a lot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we need to have that courageous heart.
Yes.
And be soft and gentle.
Yes.
That
yeah.
combo.
How do you find that balance of vulnerability and courage?
I'm working on it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Same here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stepping up here. I needed to have a little bit of courage.
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't have the brandy, you know.
Right. Yeah. Liquid courage.
Right.
Yeah. 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 So just continuing to practice and work on it and look for opportunities. In I loved what you said, in so much of what you've said, and in that it does seem to be, when you said it was a crucible, you know, actually one of the reasons I came up with the name Reconciling Angels was because of an article by... Joseph Campbell, that John Johnson, wherever he is, he's a congregant and a choir member, sent me, where they talked about in the search for the Holy Grail, there are these neutral angels that moderate the process, that there is a neutrality to the third that doesn't need you to win, doesn't need me to win, but just wants the highest and the best for everybody. And that's the wholeness that we're opening to here, I believe, is that I don't want to use words like clinging, grasping, clutching, seeking. It's just that possibility of opening to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's so essential for our evolution.
Mm-hmm.
That's the next step as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just me, it's many others.
Yeah.
I was reflecting on what we talked about a few days ago on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mentioned the Beatitudes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And one of the Beatitudes that's always stuck with me and didn't quite resonate enough was the third.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed are the meek,
mm-hmm.
for they shall inherit the earth.
Yeah.
And after our conversation the following evening, it sort of came to me in a flash that if you exchange meek for vulnerability, bold vulnerability, then it just makes sense. This is the new world that we are creating, and it's built on this willingness to be open and vulnerable.
Yes.
And bold.
Yes.
We
yeah.
need courageous people, not
yes.
just meek people.
Absolutely. Yeah, bold vulnerability, that really creates what I would refer to as the sweet spot. You know, one of the images that I was thinking about yesterday as I was pondering this interview that we were going to do, that's coming out completely differently than I thought. I'm glad I didn't prepare very much for it. Thank you. But, you know, I was thinking about in one of Hugh's pieces of writing, and I don't know whether this is common, but it's not only this newness that wants to emerge, it's oldness. Like, I think about the Star of David. This is the part that's about Hugh, where Hugh has always told me that the Star of David is a triangle, a three-sided figure pointing up, and a three-sided figure pointing down. And it's matter becoming spirit, and spirit becoming matter.
Mm-hmm.
And the sweet part is where they intersect, that beautiful spot in the middle. And that also, to me, is a lot like the symbology of the cross, which I learned from a Hindu teacher who said that the cross is very much like the horizontal plane and the vertical plane, love and truth. And then in the middle, you greet that with the heart of the Christ, which is compassion.
Well, we are in the time of the archaic revival.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So all these old teachings
mm-hmm.
are being re-examined and made appropriate for this time.
Yes.
So counsel, for example, is ancient. All peoples in before TV and, you know, radio, books and so on. How did we connect with each other? How did we learn from each other? We sat around in a circle around the fire and told stories. That's how we learned. And so our brains are wired for storytelling, okay? That's why kids, when they do the practice of counsel, just love it.
Yeah.
Because they're telling stories and they're listening to stories. Mm-hmm. Not Disney stories, but stories of their peers. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're able to share their vulnerabilities with their classmates. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't happen in regular school.
No, it doesn't.
You know, that's not part of the curriculum.
Right, right.
But kids need to be able to do that.
Yeah.
They need a space.
So when one of the first times we talked, or not counting the time we met, which I forgot, but but the time that we went out to dinner with Glory, you talked about how this practice can help with bullying as well. And I know that you don't personally work in that field, but can you tell us a little bit about how it helps with bullying?
Well, it's summed up in a phrase that a sort of mentor mentioned, said once, and that is, you don't know who a terrorist is until you've heard their story. Mm-hmm. So even the people that we're most anti, right, we have to find a way to listen to them and listen to their fears and concerns, mm-hmm. and what they're about. Mm-hmm. We tend to just close the door, right, on people that think radically different to the way we do.
Yeah.
And there's times when you need to be bold and do that.
Right.
I'm not saying, right, you know, da, da, da. But if we can find a way to listen. Mm-hmm. So in the case of a bully, if a bully can be in the circle, mm-hmm. if he can be listened to, mm-hmm. that in itself can make a great difference. Mm-hmm. Because then he gets to know who is bullying and, right, why it hurts.
Yeah, yeah, that's wonderful.
And then he can maybe take that step and step into the shoes of the other.
Yes.
And that's where reconciliation, as you know, begins.
Right, right.
We have to be able to cross that bridge into the reality of the other person.
Yes, yeah. So we are running out of time. This has been all too short, but I know that Leon is presenting on Wednesday evening at our meditation at 6:30. And before we send you back to your comfort zone there, you're just awesome, by the way. We're going to give you a big round of applause very soon. But before we do that, is there one thing that you can tell us, an assignment that we can practice as a congregation to help us move into that greater place, into that sweet spot, into that place of wholeness and that place of reconciliation?
Wow.
One thing.
One thing?
Yeah, for now.
Well, I really like Nipun Mehta's, you know, random acts of, or
yeah,
acts of kindness.
Yeah.
So maybe try to listen or have a conversation with somebody that you normally would never think of having. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So if someone approaches you at the checkout counter, really listen to them or ask them a question and engage in a conversation. Counsel is all about making connections. You know, the connections in this room, I would say, are much stronger after this little time together because of what you did, not because of what we did, mm-hmm. right? By doing this little exercise, there are now more connections established in this room. And what we want to do is build on those connections.
Yes, absolutely.
Because that's the future.
Yes.
We need each other.
Yes, we need each other. We totally need each other. And I am so grateful that you came here today to share our wisdom with us and your wisdom with us and our wisdom with you and blah, 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 all of that. So let's give Leon lots of love. Thank you. And if you want, you can sit down. Okay. All right. So as Leon returns to his seat, we'll just turn within and we'll do some prayer. And so I invite you to close your eyes and just breathe in the wisdom of this time that we've spent together. The grace and the goodness, the love, the togetherness, the answered questions and the questioned answers, the wholeness that we've touched here in this time in this sacred moment, in this sacred service. And know that each of us carry that seed of sacredness with us, that we came in here with it, but perhaps it has been rekindled and reactivated through this spiritual encounter that we've had here this morning, so that we may go into the world to be a source of light and love and absolute truth, not only not our truth, but absolute truth, the truth that encompasses all beings, the truth that includes compassion for the other. And so I just trust that transformative work has happened here today for each of us. And I trust that in some either large or small way, what has happened has made a difference in our lives. And that as we change our lives, as we make a difference in our own lives, we bless all beings through that sacred spiritual work. And so I'm just so grateful for this time together, so grateful for this spiritual center, so grateful for everyone that has come together to create this beautiful service. And I give thanks for this teaching. I give thanks for all teachings everywhere. I bless churches, synagogues, temples, mosques, ashrams. I bless fundamentalists and atheists, for I know that all beings are a blessing wherever they may be. And so with a heart that is so filled with blessedness, I say, thank you, Spirit, thank you, God, and I release these words into the divine mystery, and together we say, and so it is. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful, I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful, I am so blessed. Trusting, loving the blessings that arise within us, we create our offering in the spirit of blessedness, knowing that our gift ripples out, both figuratively and literally, as we fill the energy in the spiritual center and all of the goodness that we do here, but also that we tithe to other organizations through your generosity. I invite you to prepare your gift with that in heart and mind, knowing that this is sacred devotional practice of circulation, of participating with spiritual law. And I invite you, as you are ready, to gently place your hands over your heart, if you so choose, and to repeat after me. We trust in spirit.
We trust in spirit.
Love is the giver and receiver of all that we are.
We offer our gifts.
They are outward expressions of inner abundance. Our gifts bless many and return to us multiplied in miraculous ways. And so it is. Thank you.
Spirit, it's a starlight in the sky, it's a twinkle in my eye, and the mischief in my smile. Your indwelling spirit is closer than your hands and feet, is in everyone you meet, holy, perfect, and complete. I am knowing, knowing, knowing. And you are knowing, knowing, knowing. Your indwelling spirit is a starlight in the sky, is a twinkle in your eye, and the mischief in your smile. My dwelling spirit is closer than my hands and feet is in everyone I meet. Holy, perfect, and complete, I am knowing, knowing, knowing. In my heart, I am knowing, knowing, knowing. Oh, some call them angel voices inside. Tell me, how are you guided? I'll come to keep expanding to a higher height, a brighter light. Ooh. Well, some call them angel voices inside. Tell me, how are you guided? I'll come to keep expanding to a higher height, a brighter light. Oh, I am knowing, knowing, knowing. Your heart, you are knowing, oh, knowing, knowing. Come on, tell me, we are knowing, woo, we are knowing, knowing. Oh, every night and every we are knowing, in the day and knowing, every way knowing. One more time. One more, we are knowing, woo, knowing. I know we're knowing, I know we're, come on, let's do it again now. Knowing, knowing, knowing. I know, you know, knowing. We are knowing, knowing. Knowing, we are knowing.
So beautiful. Thank you. Beautiful. You're a rock star. Thanks. All right, thanks so much for joining us. And if you'd like to join us through that door or that door, we've got lots of great refreshments, lots of things to sign up for. You can find out more about Leon's Council on Wednesday at 6:30. It's all on the website as well. So let's do our affirmations, and then we will sing. Please repeat after me. We are a center of love.
We are a center of love.
We are love.
We are love.
We serve love.
We serve love.
We share love.
We share love.
Thank you for our love.
Thank you for our life.
And so it is.
May peace prevail on earth. May peace prevail on earth. May peace prevail on earth. May peace. Peace.